Everyone out to our visitors. We're just so thankful that you have decided to worship God with us this evening. And if you have any questions about our service or this lesson, we'd love to sit down and study God's word with you. I'd like to thank the elders for allowing me this opportunity to stand before you and to bring a lesson from God's word, a lesson that can strengthen us and that we can be better Christians after we leave here than we were when we came, that we can take something home with us and to be a better light in the world. Our goal this evening, as it is every time we assemble, is to worship God in spirit and in truth in accordance with the standard that we read in the New Testament. So with that being said, please get out your Bibles and follow along with me. My Bible's opened up to Hebrews chapter 11. As is it known to a lot of us that Hebrews chapter 11 goes into the Faith Hall of Fame. And with that being said, in verse 30 says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they had been encircled for 7 days." In Genesis 15 verse 7, God made a promise to give the land of Canaan to Abraham and his descendants. Joshua was the leader of Abraham's descendants, the Israelites, and they were on the brink of the promised land. That has been many years since the promise was made, but yet they still were not possess the land. No doubt the Israelites have been taught many things about the land of Canaan, and that it's a wonderful land that was flowing with milk and honey. They spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and those who disobeyed God, one by one, all of them perished. But the thought of that wonderful land that lay ahead of them caused the younger generation to press on. But as they came into the land, there's one prominent city where the trade routes met, and it stood in their way of inheriting that land. And that city was Jericho. Alright, so the Jericho was a large city. The archaeologists have discovered that this stone retaining wall at its base right here was about 6 foot wide, and it stood about 12 to 15 feet. And then this part right here was 6 foot thick and stood about 20 to 26 feet tall. So the average height of the wall was about 46 feet. So this wall was not just your privacy fence that you have in your backyard. This was a monstrosity of a wall. However, because God is all-knowing, God gave instructions to Joshua on how to take Jericho. So with that being said, turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Now Jericho was tightly shut because the sons of Israel had let no one in and no one came out. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given you Jericho into your hands, and it is with its king and valiant warriors. So you should march around the city, all men of war, circling the city once for 6 days. And also, 7 priests shall carry the trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark. And then on the 7th day, you should march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow their trumpets. And it shall be when they make a loud, long blast with ram's horn, and when you hear the sounds of the trumpet, all the people will shout, and the great shout, and the city will fall down flat, and the people will go ahead up, and every man straight ahead. So God gave specific commands to Joshua. He first started by saying he's going to give them this land. And then the first step that he told them was that the army has to, once a day, for 6 days, march around this outside of the walls. Not only that, 7 priests were to carry the 7 trumpets, the ram's horns, along with the ark, and were to follow the soldiers around. The people were not allowed to say a word during the first 6 days of this march. Then on the 7th day, they were to march around the city 7 times. Then after the 7th march around the city, the priests were to give a loud, long blast of ram's horns, and all the people would give a great shout, and the walls would fall down flat. In verses 6 through 14, we can read that this Joshua and the children of Israel successfully followed out for the first 6 days. So with that being said, let's read what happens on the 7th day. Let's start reading in verse 15 of Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, verse 15 says, "Then on the 7th day, they arose early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. Only that day they marched around the city 7 times. At the 7th time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you this city, and the city has been under ban, it, and all of its belongings to the Lord. Only Rahab, the harlot, and all who are in her house shall live, because she had hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, you only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so you do not covet them, and do not take some things under the ban that make the camp of Israel accursed, and bring the troubles on it. But all the silver, gold, articles of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord, and they shall go into the treasury of the Lord.' So when the people shouted, the priests blew the trumpets, and when the people heard the sounds of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the men went up into the cities, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed everything in the city, both men, women, young and old, ox, sheep, and donkeys with the edge of the sword." So God gave to the children of Israel the victory that particular day. God gave his people a direct command to take Jericho. The people had a choice to make. Were they going to listen to Joshua that got the commands from God and be successful? Or they could have done things their way. They could have been like, you know, I can handle walking around the walls for 6 days. And on the 7th day, I don't know if I have seven trips around in me. They could have said that. Or they could have taken things that they were not supposed to take. However, they chose the first option because we know, we just read, because they had success. And the same goes for us. When we follow God and His commandments, we can achieve the reward He has promised and for His people, and that is heaven. So with that being said, there's 4 important lessons that we can learn from this text. The first thing is there's a difference between God's way and man's way. And Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways, nor your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. A military mind would think this attack on Jericho would be foolish. Just imagine for a second, you are the king of Jericho, for king or queen of Jericho. You see these people marching around. According to archaeologists, with the buildings and everything inside the city, when you actually look down to the bottom, to ground level, they said the Israelites could look like ants marching around. So you'd be feeling really secure because you have this big, strong wall, and you have what most militaries would love to have, the higher ground. As a military strategy, the higher ground is the most ideal for three reasons. One, you have a clear shot to shoot. There's no trees, there's no mountains, there's no anything that can stop you from your target. Secondly, it's harder to fight going uphill and attacking when it's easier to attack going downhill. And thirdly, higher ground will help with communication because there's less obstacles in the way, which is a greater range of communication. But we need to keep this in mind, that God's way accomplished the goal that He had in mind. If God's way worked at Jericho, then it will surely help us. It will surely accomplish His purpose today. Let us never question the purpose of God's instructions. Let us have enough faith to do what God says and His way, where we can succeed successfully. For example, let's consider the world's attitude towards baptism. The instruction on baptism is very plain. Mark 16:16 says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieves shall be condemned." Many people stumble as regards to baptism. They can't see the connection between the command and the promise. Many question the effectiveness of baptism. Is it really worth it? Do I really have to be baptized to be saved? And the answer to that question is yes. Because baptism is God's way, and God's way will always work. Also, let's consider God's plan when it comes to the growth of the church, the growth of the kingdom. Man's way, we can ignore the plan that God has set forth in His Word, and then we can start doing things that we see very common in today's society. We could have missionary societies. We could have orphanages that be church-sponsored. Or even in our worship service, we could have a rock concert. We can dim the lights, and we can have a party outside. But we dare not do this because this is not God's way. The second lesson that we can learn from this is the awesome power of God. There's no doubt the walls of Jericho fell, but because they fell because of the power of God. There was nothing that Israelites could do that caused the walls of Jericho to fall. The vibrations of their marching, the pitches when they yelled, none of that could have prevented Jericho to fall. However, the walls fell because of God unleashed His mighty power. God's mighty power brought into existence this complicated world in which we live. In Genesis 1:1, He brought into existence our bodies. How complex. He brought into existence our solar system. Most importantly, He brought into existence our spirit. Are all the works of His hands. Many things which God created have stumped the most intellectual, smartest people to ever live on this earth. But the walls, the falling of the walls of Jericho was just a small undertaking for what God can do with his power. I remember in Vacation Bible School, we still sing this song, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do." That's a simple song, but yet it speaks volumes on the power of God and how into 1 second he can create the world. Thirdly, we can learn the relationship between grace, faith, and obedience. As we read before in Hebrews 11:30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. They trusted what God told them to do, and they received the blessing as promised by God if they did what he commanded them to do. The people could have talked at length, weighing their options on, do we really want to do this? Do we really? This is weird. This doesn't seem like it should work. But they could have talked at length about their faith and how much they had in God. But if they failed to obey God's instructions, they would not have taken the city. James, in his book, in James 2, verse 17, says, Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead. And we're also saved by faith. Romans 5, 1, therefore being justified by faith. Turn with me to the book. See what Jesus has to say about faith. Book of John. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Many can't understand the idea of salvation and faith when there's something to do with them. If faith avails when it's obeyed. When the walls of Jericho fell by faith, it was after it was compressed for about 7 days. So the children of Israel had to do something. They had to follow what God commanded them to do. He already promised Joshua that he would give them that land, but they still had things they had to do to obtain it. Surely everyone can see the necessity of that kind of faith today. They did not question God's strange commands. They did exactly what God required of them. And they were blessed for doing so. Likewise, faith saves us, and it moves us to obey God's commands. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we'll start reading in verse 24. Verse 24 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. When the rains fell and the floods came, and the winds blew, they slammed against the house, and it fell, and it was great." And then in our next passage, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll start reading in verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all of those who obey him the source of eternal life." And last but not least, turn with me to the book of 1 John. First John chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." And one says, "I have come to know him," and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him by love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. So faith should motivate us. Our faith should motivate our whole lives. And in order to keep that faith going, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." The intense longing for our heavenly home, that should motivate us on our walk. Isn't it ironic that the lack of faith that we read about in Numbers 13:28, when the 12 spies came back, and one of their big excuses was of not being able to take the land of Canaan, was the fact that Jericho had these big walls and they were fortified. And those exact thing, through their lack of faith, they were not able to accomplish that. And they were destroyed during those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Let us have that kind of faith that moves us to trust and obey God. And last but not least, God keeps his promises. The walls fell because God promised that they would fall. Our God is not like the gods that we read of Greek mythology who would play dirty tricks on men. The Greeks made their gods in the likeness of men. But God has given us exceedingly great and precious promises. And his promises, and he promises us, his promises to us are sure and steadfast. Colossians 3:24 says, "Knowing that from the Lord which you have received the reward of his inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve." So in order to receive this reward, we have to have endurance. Hebrews 10:36 tells us that. In Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "Make sure your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself said, I will never desert you, nor now I will never forsake you." So you can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?" That is the confidence that we need to have. And not only that, we can see that when God promises something to us, he does it. Us as his children also have to do that. We see the two spies kept their word, kept their promises, because Rahab the harlot and her family were saved from the destruction of Jericho. Let us, as children of God, keep the promises that we make. Let's not dare to make promises that we can't catch. And also, once we make a promise, we will keep it. Even if it costs us greatly, or it's extremely difficult to fulfill, but we have an obligation. There are interesting vital lessons that we can learn from this ancient piece of history about the fall of Jericho. We see God's promises. We see God's instruction. We see the faith of the Israelites. We see the obedience of the Israelites. We see the power of God. And then last but not least, God's rewards for those who trust and have obedience in Him. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever was written in former days were written for our instruction, that through endurance, through the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope." So the Scripture produces patience, perseverance, and it gives us the comfort, the encouragement to keep pressing on. Without the Scripture, without studying, without relying on it, and obeying the Scripture, there is no hope to being saved for eternally. So with that being said, we can learn from this and take heed from it. Go ahead and get out your songbooks. One lesson that we have learned tonight, that is, when God promises something to us, that something will happen. In Matthew 24, and verse 36 says, But of that day, concerning the meaning the judgment, but by that day, no hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son of Man, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will just be like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not understand until the flood came and took them away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day the Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known what time of night the thief would have was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when we do not think he will. So my question for everybody tonight is that, are you ready? Are you prepared for the judgment day? If not, why not? The Bible says we must hear. We've just heard the Word of God. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have to repent of our sins. We have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we have to be baptized for the remission of sins. And also to remain faithful until death. So if there's anything that we can do for you tonight, will you come forward now as we stand and as we sing?